So last week, Channel 9's Today Show dumped Senator Pauline Hanson as a regular contributor to its news chat segment because of divisive remarks about Melbourne public housing residents. In an interview, Hanson denigrated residents, referring to the tenants in various offensive ways. In a statement, Channel 9 said, "We don't shy away from diverse opinions and robust debate on the Today Show, but accusations from Pauline Hanson were ill-informed and divisive," and said, "Hanson will no longer be appearing on our program as a regular contributor." So I won't repeat her opinions here, but when voices such as Hanson's are amplified, is the safety of the public put at risk? Is the job of the mainstream media to give a platform for public figures who will probably make racist remarks anyway? With me now is Dennis Muller, Senior Research Fellow with the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne. Welcome, Dennis. So how does Hanson continue to vent her opinions to the public? It's been happening for decades. Why do media organisations continue to support her offensive rantings? Is it about ratings? What's going on here?
It is, to a large extent, about ratings. But it's also important to remember that Hanson is a public figure. She is a senator.
Yeah.
So she carries a certain amount of authority in our system. So there are two reasons. I think that the other factor in this is that she is talking to an audience which some media outlets regard as their core audience, and I think that the Channel 9 Today program, where this stuff was broadcast, would fall into that category, and so would a good number of the audiences of the Sydney shock jocks like Alan Jones. So I think there are those three factors. There's the ratings, there's the authority that Hanson brings because of her status as a senator, and the fact that the sort of stuff that she spouts resonates with the audiences, or at least a significant segment of the audiences that these programs are aimed at.
Yeah, well, it's dangerous, though, I think, that some of the comments that she makes, it can rile public opinion and rile up some of the right-wing side of our community to give them fuel for their rantings as well online.
Well, that's what it does. And then, of course, people of the opposite opinion respond in kind. They respond with the same kind of invective and unpleasant language. And so the effect overall is to debase the entire public discourse. Instead of having a debate about, for example, immigration, as we might have if we were able to do it in a civilized way, we finish up with a slanging match in which the real victims are not just the quality of our public discourse, but the real victims are, of course, the people about whom all of this ranting is given. So in this case, it's the people in the towers in Melbourne, many of whom are African refugees, Sudanese, Ethiopians, and so on, people who have come from war zones and have come to Australia as refugees, are, of course, for that reason, among the most marginalised in our community, and are living in conditions which most of us in Australia would regard as very difficult, very cramped, very small, very crowded. And so for someone like Hanson to start decrying a lot of them as drug addicts and alcoholics and so on, is, apart from the fact that it's just inaccurate as to the facts, is appallingly damaging to them and divisive. And that's another of the, I think, very bad effects on our society as a whole. It tends to divide us.
Indeed, it's extremely divisive. And in your article in The Conversation, you've said that Channel 9, where, as you say, this atrocity was broadcast, thought it was great sport.
They did.
It put out a tweet promoting the rant, and you say this life, as you understand, is measured in ratings, analytics, engagement, and eyeballs.
Yes, and I think as soon as you see Channel 9 putting out a promotional tweet about what Hanson had said, I think that's the only conclusion you can draw, because media organisations use social media to promote engagement with their content and to try to get those who see it to replicate it by sharing it with their friends on social media. So you get engagement, you get eyeballs, and of course on the original TV show you get ratings.
Yep.
And the evidence is that is really what Channel 9 were doing with this stuff. They got her on. They knew, or they ought to have known, that this was exactly the kind of thing that Hanson was likely to say something offensive on, because it involved people of colour and immigration. And so they got her on. And then when she delivered on what they expected that she would, they then used it to try to promote themselves.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview. I watched most of it. I couldn't watch all of it. But it started off quite well, quite tame, and quite civilised. And then all of a sudden, she seemed to drop into this rant. It was astounding. I didn't think television would do that anymore, but clearly it does.
Yeah, well, and that's often what she does. Much of what she says comes out of her mouth before her brain is engaged. And so it's difficult for anybody. If she barely knows herself what she's going to say next, it's impossible for the rest of us to know. But we do know from her long history. I mean, this goes back to 1996. There's no excuse for not knowing what Hanson is likely to say when questions of immigration and race arise.
It's baiting, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. It's just providing, it's providing her with a platform which she will use, because that is basically the line on which she has built an entire political career.
And then later she was reported in The Australian as having her right to free speech having been infringed. Well, I couldn't read that article, by the way, because it's locked behind a paywall, and that's a whole conversation in itself, I guess, but maybe for next time. But you say no, it's not. It's not diminishing her right to free speech, because she'd exercised it. And
she
now
had,
she has to wear the consequences.
Yes, she hadn't been censored before she went to air. Mm. She said what she said, and then in our system of democracy, you take the consequences. So if you broadcast something which is defamatory, you're perfectly entitled to broadcast it, but there will be consequences for you. If you publish or broadcast material which is in contempt of court, you're free to do it, but you might finish up in prison. If you broadcast harmful, racist content of the kind that Hanson did the other day, there will be consequences, and one of them in this case is that she has been told she will no longer be a regular guest on the Today Show, which worries me, because she may turn up as an irregular guest if the opportunity offers.
Yeah, and perhaps on another station as well. Someone will grab her and get her to, you know, just switch her on and tell her to say whatever she likes, and then they'll shut her down again, and it'll just continue.
Well, this is what happened with Channel 9. You see, she was originally on Channel 7.
Yeah.
And Channel 7 ditched her because of, you know, something similar. So Channel 9 immediately pounced and said, oh, well, we can get this ratings engine for ourselves. and now, of course, she's been ditched by them. She's starting to run out of options, because I don't think that Channel 10 are likely to pick her up, and it's certain that the public broadcasters won't. So perhaps her broadcasting career has come to an end. Who knows,
yeah. But it's, so also in your article, in The Conversation, Dennis Muller, you say, by giving rein to her ignorance and prejudice, Hanson has made their job and the lives of lockdown residents even more difficult. She's diminished Australia's social capital, and Channel 9 gave her a megaphone to do it with. Now, regular people don't have this megaphone, and is this an unfair advantage, an opportunity to spread ignorance? As a Member of Parliament, Hanson, you mentioned this before too, has a an extra platform of Parliament to voice these divisive and often vilifying commentary. And clearly it's not fair to the rest of us when a media corporation and the Parliament allow this ignorance and prejudice to flourish in the community. It's just not fair.
Well, it's not only that it's not fair, it's an abuse of power.
Yes.
We, all of us in the media, have the privilege of the platform. You know, the privilege of the printing press or the microphone or the camera. They are privileges. They bring power with them. And we are ethically bound to use that power for good and not for ill. And we are properly accountable, admittedly in a fairly haphazard way in Australia, but we are accountable for the way we use the power of the platform. And Channel 9, having abused, in my view, having abused the power of the platform by allowing Hanson on, needs to be held to account. I don't think it's likely to be the broadcasting regulator in Australia. The Australian Communications and Media Authority is what is called a co-regulator, and in that role goes out of its way not to find adversely against commercial broadcasters. Instead, they try to find ways of exonerating them for atrocities like this. I'll be intrigued to see whether the Australian Communications and Media Authority do anything at all about Channel 9 having Hanson on the program and allowing the stuff to be broadcast. I doubt they will, but one can only hope that they might.
Will that rely on complaints from the public, though, won't it?
Yes, it will. Although, not necessarily. I mean, they've got own motion powers. They can, if they want to, embark on their own investigation. They did this after the broadcasting of the footage on the Christchurch massacre in March last year.
Right.
They instigated their own inquiry, so they're perfectly empowered to do that. But there's no sign that they will, and I think that's a further weakness, because it means that when Channel 9, for example, gets this impulse to have a Hanson-type person on in order to promote ratings at the expense of the social good, the regulator doesn't regard that as a problem, and I think that's a problem in itself.
Do you think that the editors and the producers, the chiefs of staffs of these places, do you think that they sit there and go, let's get Hanson on and let's turn her on, let's bait her into this? Do you think they do that deliberately?
Certainly, of course they do. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, she doesn't turn up there by accident.
No.
They decide, well, here are these towers in Melbourne, 9 of them, with a whole lot of people that we know are refugees from places like Africa crammed into them. Let's get Hanson on and ask her what she thinks. Of course. Yes. And it's all done with an eye to generating controversy and thereby generating ratings. And more than that, the controversy itself gives profile to the program. Yep. I mean, here we are, inevitably,
yes,
talking about it. We have to, because our job is to comment on what's going on in the world. As an unintended byproduct of that, of course, we are giving further publicity to the program. And the only thing that saves us from being accused of being complicit in it is the context in which we're doing it, which is a condemnatory context. Mm-hmm. But that's... to them, it doesn't matter. It's a bit like the attitude of the celebrity, you know, that all publicity is good publicity, except that they get your name wrong.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Dennis Muller. Much appreciate your time.
That's been a pleasure, Alan. Yeah.